Do 66,000 pediatricians really support the AAP's trans-affirmative policy? I have read umpteen times that the 66,000-member American Academy of Pediatrics, the AAP, supports the use of opposite-sex restrooms and locker rooms in schools by gender dysphoric students. Wowzer! 66,000? That's a lot of pediatricians. A few weeks ago, I got to ruminating on that mind-boggling claim. It seemed implausible that all 66,000 pediatricians could believe something so radical. So I set off on a quest to dig into this claim, and what I learned is surprising. Fortunately for me and my quest, there's another medical organization that has sprung up precisely because of the radical positions taken by the AAP. It's the American College of Pediatricians, ACPEDS. You may have heard of ACPEDS because the very name sends shivers of revulsion, or is it fear, up the spines of liberals everywhere. Why? Is it because ACPEDS is composed of charlatans and snake oil salespersons who received their medical degrees at Rufus T. Firefly's University of Fredonia? Nope. ACPEDS is ridiculed because it holds different positions on the treatment of gender dysphoria in minors. Leftists are reluctant to discredit ACPEDS based solely on disagreement about treatment protocols because that argument becomes circular. You can't trust ACPEDS because it doesn't support gender-affirmative protocols, and we all know gender-affirmative protocols are correct. So how do liberals attempt to discredit ACPEDS, which was founded just 15 years ago? They do so by citing the fact that the membership numbers are lower than are the membership numbers in the AAP, which was founded 87 years ago. Still a fallacious argument, an appeal to popularity, but it works as a soundbite, and it works for ignorant school board members. In addition to being a fallacious appeal to popularity, it also implies a factual error. Or is it an alternative fact? It implies, without stating, that 66,000 pediatricians support co-ed locker rooms. The truth is, we have no idea how many AAP members support co-ed restroom and locker room policies, or puberty blockers, cross-sex hormone doping, or double mastectomies for minors, because they've never been polled. All we do know is the approximate number of members who created and voted on the AAP's policy on gender dysphoric students. Well, more accurately, some people know the approximate number of AAP members who imposed this policy on the AAP. I hope to change that. Dr. Michelle Critella, a board-certified pediatrician who serves as the president of ACPEDS, shared this illuminating information about the AAP policy, and I quote, "AAP policy is created by fewer than 30 pediatricians without general member input," end quote. Dr. Joseph Zanga, who has served as clinical professor of pediatrics at the Medical College of Georgia and was also the professor of pediatrics with the Mercer University School of Medicine and a past president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, further clarified the policymaking process that liberals would likely prefer concealed. And I quote, "Policy statements are produced by 10 to 12 member committees or councils, or more commonly by section executive committees, whose members are nominated by their AAP state chapters and selected by committees of the board. Confirmation is by the board of directors. The 10 members of the AAP board of directors are elected by the AAP members of their district, and elections never garner votes from even 40% of members. And the executive committee, consisting of the president, president-elect, immediate past president, and the paid executive director, hired by the board. Statements are sent to the board for discussion sometimes and vote. Rarely is there outside opinion sought, and there is never a minority report. AAP members often don't even see the report until after it appears in the media. They have no direct input," end quote. In contrast, here is a description of the process by which ACPEDS develops policy, and I quote, "The ACPEDS has our entire membership, 500 pediatric health professionals, comment and vote upon our statements prior to release. If 25% of our members object to the statement, it will not be released," end quote. In addition, ACPEDS partners with other organizations to promote views different from the views for which 24 AAP members voted. And I quote, "The four physician groups representing over 20,000 doctors who affirm that transgender beliefs are a problem of the mind include the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, ACPEDS, Catholic Medical Association, and the Christian Medical Dental Associations." End quote. Commit this information to memory so that the next time a feckless progressive school board member or lawmaker proclaims from on high that the 66,000 member AAP is in favor of co-ed restrooms and locker rooms, you can clarify that all we know is that fewer than 24 of the 66,000 members of the AAP created and voted on co-ed restrooms and locker rooms. So let's take a little look at the executive committee that wrote the AAP's gender-affirmative trans policy. According to Dr. Manga, while there are dozens of AAP sections, only a few write policy statements as the LGBT section did. Here are the names of the 7 members of the executive committee for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender health and wellness section, which only has 342 members. At least 2 of these 7 members who wrote the policy are homosexual. So while homosexuals constitute about 3.5% of the population, they constitute almost 30%, perhaps even 40% of this AAP committee. And another of the members has an adult homosexual child. So here are their names. Dr. Lynn Hunt, who's a lesbian, Dr. Ellen C. Perrin, Dr. Chadwick Taylor Rogers, Dr. Ann Teresa Gerhart, Dr. David M. Jaffe, who's also homosexual, Dr. Joseph A. Waters, and Ann Gramiak, who's not a medical doctor. A Tufts University profile of one of the chief architects of the AAP policy, Dr. Ellen Perrin, reports that for Perrin, quote, "Pediatrics is more than just medicine. It's a vehicle for social change," end quote. According to the profile, Perrin is a, quote, "leading expert on same-sex parenting, with her research showing that there is no relationship between parents' sexual orientation and any measure of a child's emotional, social, or behavioral adjustment," end quote. Further, Perrin, who is chair of Pro-Family Pediatricians, a group of pediatricians opposed to the federal marriage amendment, shared that, quote, "advocacy is one of the things I do," end quote. In doing research on the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender health and wellness section of the AAP, I was unpleasantly surprised to learn that one of the members of the AAP's Committee on Adolescence is none other than Chicago's own Dr. Robert Garofalo, about whom I've written. He's the openly homosexual HIV-positive doctor who is the division head of adolescent medicine at Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. In a May 2015 Chicago Magazine profile of him, titled "The Change Agent," Garofalo admits that, quote, "he has had patients as young as 15 undergo top surgery," end quote. You heard that right. Some Mengelian doctors are performing double mastectomies on physically healthy 15-year-old girls. In terms of policy positions regarding sexuality, the AAP is now formally a partisan political organization. 6 months ago, the AAP began partnering with the nation's largest pro-homosexual, pro-trans activist organization, the Human Rights Campaign, HRC, thus discrediting it as an impartial, unbiased medical organization. Here are some HRC recommendations from its guide for schools. And I quote, 1. While this guide focuses primarily on transgender youth who are transitioning from male to female or female to male, it is important to note that a growing number of gender expansive youth are identifying themselves outside the gender binary, and many use gender neutral pronouns. While it may be more difficult to adapt to gender neutral pronouns, it is still important to do so in support of the student. 2. Another crucial element in supporting a transitioning student is giving them access to sex-separated facilities, activities, or programs based on the student's gender identity, including restrooms, locker rooms, health and physical education classes, and competitive athletics, overnight field trips, and homecoming court and prom. And 3, any student who feels uncomfortable sharing facilities with a transgender student should be allowed to use another, more private facility like the bathroom in the nurse's office, but a transgender student should never be forced to use alternative facilities to make other students comfortable." End quote. Leftists assume that hard science provides all the answers to our ethical questions, and therefore, we need only defer to our objective scientific organizations to point the way to Shangri-La. But science does not provide answers to moral questions, and our scientific organizations are not objective. As ACPEDS correctly points out, even the practice of medicine is informed by one's worldview. And I quote, "The debate over how to treat children with gender dysphoria is primarily an ethical dispute, one that concerns physician worldview as much as science. Medicine does not occur in a moral vacuum. Every therapeutic action or inaction is the result of a moral judgment of some kind that arises from the physician's philosophical worldview. Medicine also does not occur in a political vacuum, and being on the wrong side of sexual politics can have severe consequences for individuals who hold the politically incorrect view." End quote. If the AAP ever decides to poll its members to find out exactly how many support and oppose the radical policy concocted by the Gang of Seven, they best make it anonymous, because there's nothing quite like the fury of liberals who've had their views scorned. Just ask Dr. Kenneth Zucker. If you go to this article online, you'll find a link to the story of what's happened to Dr. Kenneth Zucker.